our offsetting staff member.
Yes, we said.
He is offsetting.
We're offsetting each other.
Barbara, the floor is yours.
Good afternoon. We're looking at agenda paper four. We're back again. So the purpose of this paper was to give the board some feedback about, give the board feedback that we've heard since we've made our decisions about the effective date and transition for IS 32 amendments and also for IFRS 7 disclosures. So, and the reason we're doing this in a ISB only meeting is because the feedback we've received and even for the disclosures were from IFRS preparers only. So, as you remember, in September, we agreed on the effective date and transition requirements for the both sets of changes. That was for years begin annual periods beginning 1 January 2013, interims included in those, and retrospective application. Again, this is both for offsetting disclosures and the amendments to the IS 32 application guidance. So, what I'd like to do, if that's okay, the board is split it out between the two projects. So the first one I'd like to talk about is the disclosures timing. So on the disclosures, we still have had preparers come back to us and say they're concerned about the transition and effective date. They think it will cause them a significant burden based on the timing of the document that we're issuing, which will be hopefully in December, and the fact that some of the required information in the columns to the right is based on more of their risk management systems and their reporting systems. And so just to step back and remind the boards again of the purpose of the disclosures, you know, we've put these disclosures in place to meet users' needs and give them more transparent information about offsetting agreements, offsetting on the statement of financial position, and then other amounts they have subject to set-off arrangements. So this will help users compare financial statements between IFRSs and U.S. GAAP and understand how those arrangements affect an entity's position in normal course business, bankruptcy, insolvency, et cetera. And we think this is important, especially because since we have not converged our offsetting requirements, the staff thinks it's important that users receive this new disclosure information as soon as possible, since we have significant differences still in our statement of financial position. And this is especially, obviously, for entities that have significant derivative activities or repo activities. We also wanted to remind the board that the disclosures that we've decided are significantly less complex than the ones we proposed in the exposure draft, and that retrospective application of the disclosures will give users consistency. So, in short, the staff, and we said this in the paper, don't believe that we need to reconsider the effective date and transition for the disclosure requirements that we're putting in IFRS 7 for offsetting. And we just want to ask the board if you agree with our analysis first for the disclosure requirements. And let me ask that first, please.
Do we agree?
Yep.
Such is the case.
Is that a no?
No? Paul?
No.
Okay.
if preparers have honestly said it will be a substantial effort to capture this data, and we're talking really 13 months from now, I would be inclined to lean toward 2014.
Beth?
I support the staff recommendation. My understanding that this is a financial crisis project, and we seem to be in an ongoing financial crisis, and therefore I think it's imperative that we require these disclosures as soon as possible.
Okay, so we have 14 to 1. Yeah? Okay.
Okay, so the second part of our paper was related to IS 32 application guidance. Amendments to the application guidance, which we're putting in place to clarify the board's intention with respect to the current offsetting criteria. So the board did not intend to change offsetting criteria today for IS 32. We also didn't expect there to be significant changes in practice as a result of these clarifications. But again, we've had feedback from preparers that their practice could change as a result of having to look at, for example, the enforceability of in the event of their own bankruptcy. Some preparers in some jurisdictions were only looking at enforceability in normal course of business today and not bankruptcy or default. And then we also have some preparers that have thought that their current systems that they were using to settle actually did not meet the offsetting criteria, and now that they see the application guidance, they're realizing they actually may have to offset because it's required. There's another group of preparers that are saying that, well, if we actually have to go back and we find out we can't get assurance or, you know, maybe our agreements are requiring more or less offsetting based on our initial understanding of IS 32, the jurisdictions we're in may require us to actually go back and report 4 or 5 years of statements of financial position. So they're saying that they need more time to implement these clarifications to IS 32. So these preparers are not questioning the changes we're making. They're just asking for more time. And they're asking that we align with IFRS 9 amended effective date of 1 Jan 2015. That will give them sufficient time to prepare for to go through and look at the clarifications. Now, again, as I said, we understand that the intention of the board was not to change the IS 32 criteria, and so we originally said that we think this should be effective as soon as possible, and we aligned it with the disclosures. And in the paper, we asked you to confirm your original decisions because the board believed that that was, or sorry, the staff believed that was a reasonable decision. But and also, we want to note that users were not asking for, you know, changes to IS 32. They weren't asking for any immediate decision changes or any changes to IS 32. So after giving some more thought and talking to more preparers, actually the staff has changed what we've put in the paper. And we think that it wouldn't be unreasonable to allow preparers more time to prepare for the IS 32 amendments to the clarification guidance. And so we'd actually like to ask the board if you would consider changing the effective date for the IS 32 amendments to periods beginning 1 Jan 2015 with retrospective application for annual periods and interim periods, but with early application permitted.
So that would be separate, just to clarify, Barbara, to the decision on disclosures. So we'd say the disclosures per the previous vote would be unchanged, and this would just be the clarification.
This would just be the amendments to the IS 32 guidance. So basically we're separating the original decisions for them to have the same effective date.
Talk.
We're asking you if you would agree to separate them.
I support staff's proposal. I think
the
2015. Yes, the latter. And
actually, in September meeting, I voted to re-expose. And just only myself was saying that. But the reason why I said we should re-expose is on this offsetting issue, we have changed the stream of our line. Actually, we were trying to make a new standard. And we failed. Then we decided to stay on IS 32. Then it looks like nothing will change. And many constituents think that in practice will not change. However, we are going to make some guideline. I think this guideline is very good. It made it clear what was unclear. However, because of this clear guideline, there are some constituents who need to change the current practice. But because we stay on the IS 32, we try to do the effective date rather shortly. But constituents really do not know what is going on because we are not re-exposing. Then when it comes to the final standards, at the end of this year or early next year, it would be taken by surprise by lots of constituents. So I don't think it's not very good situation. And one other thing I have to comment is, although we relatively stay on current practice, however, this is the practice of day-to-day transaction. So they are making a huge amount of day-to-day transaction through the clearing house. And our standards, our criteria is relatively, in a sense, clear. So in order to make it happen, they need to make clear with each clearing house, does it meet the offsetting criteria, and go through it. But sometimes they need to change their system. Or even in case they don't have to change the IT system, they have to make clear the notion of our new standards. And with lots of subsidiaries and lots of counterparties. And actually it takes time. And we are requiring them the retrospective application on the face of financial statements, and it must be audited. So therefore, taking those things into consideration, I think it would be wise for us to postpone the effective date.
So you support Barbara's proposal?
Yes.
Revised proposal.
Yeah. Okay, Daryl?
I support the staff's revised proposal. At the outset, I hadn't thought that this would be a particularly significant change, but the little bit of feedback that I've got from people I have directly asked would seem to suggest that those who are doing it differently may well require systems changes. And I think given that the first period in which this would effectively be reported is right upon us, to expect system changes that quickly is unreasonable. There are two ways we could have gone about this. We could have said, keep the 2013 date, but don't have comparatives, or move the date out. I would view this as being very important to have comparators, as much in interim statements, because it's the face of the balance sheet issue, as in final financials. Final financials, you might get around it with disclosure, but interims, you're not going to. So I would support the proposal.
Rego?
Now, our original proposal was based on the presumption that is the amendment will not change practice a lot. But actually, the feedback we got is not the case. And so people feel, you know, the new, based on the new guidance, the principle will be much tight, and the entity will feel much harder to offset liability equity asset. This is the feedback we got. And based on such kind of feedback, I agree with the new proposals, but I'm not happy to see or to know you revised the questions up until now.
Yeah, we apologize for that. I would like to clarify that we don't know that it will change practice. The thing is, preparers are saying, you know, if they weren't doing what we clarified, and then we've clarified it, they need to go back and look to see, say, for example, they need to get additional legal opinions for bankruptcy or default. So they need to go back and see if they can do that, and that will take time. If they have a system, so that could result in more or less, well, that could result in less netting if they can't get the opinions. So you're right with respect to that. On the other side, if there are entities that were not offsetting because they didn't think their systems qualified, and then they found out from our application guidance that they actually can offset and have to because it's required, now they have to go back and they will have more offsetting. So it's actually both sides are possible. But what preparers are saying is that they don't know if it will change the statement of financial position. It could, but what they need to do is more time to figure it out, because they weren't necessarily offsetting based on what we've put in the clarifications.
If I could just add one small point to that, and I agree with everything Barbara said, but I think one small point to your comment that, you know, we thought we weren't changing anything. That's not true in the sense that we decided we needed clarity because we knew there was inconsistency of application. So by definition, we always knew that the analysis was going to have to change for some people. And I think that the new information is really how much work it is to do that new analysis. So I think that's a new piece of information.
PK?
You know, one question I want to ask is that if I am the CFO, and I present these financial statements in 2013, and somebody is going to say, you know, you're using the without the application guidance, which is effective in 2015, what is going to be the effect of if you adopt that, which is very similar to what we have under IAS 8. So how does that work? Because I feel that the fact that we have couched this as an application guidance, not as an amendment, mm-hmm. Okay, so we are only saying this is a clarification to what we always intended. We are exemplifying it, we are emphasizing it, amplifying it, whatever you want to call it. But in that sense, that I don't see, honestly, I appreciate that somebody has to go back in time, might be a work. But going forward, I would think that the compromise I would reach is that 2013 prospective rather than not having any information, you know, I would suggest that 2013 onwards prospective, so by 2015 you will have comparatives, but at least people are getting comparative latest information under the thing, rather than having no information, which is not my ideal situation. So I take 2013. If worst come worst, I will. You can twist my arm and I'll go for prospective, but I will not move from 2013. This is only an amplification.
But do you think that prospective will give useful information when you have two different sets? Effectively, your statement of financial position, if you really did have changes to how you're offsetting.
Yeah, but I'm not restricting them from restating, though. I'm not restricting them from restating. If it's so dramatic, the world should know it. They cannot wait till 2015 because if it's so dramatic, they got to do it right now.
If they're not sure,
if
they can restate that. But I understand your point. The other thing we were thinking was these. Now you have these disclosures. So the disclosures are effective. 2013, we have the disclosures effective, but they're retrospective. So effectively, you're saying 1 year, 2012, is based on offsetting the way they understood it previously and disclosures to that effect. And now we have 2013 based on offsetting with the application guidance and disclosures to that effect. We don't think that that's good information.
But is it better than not having anything? And having knowingly comparable for what? How is it comparable? It is of comparable of no value.
It's valuable.
Two negatives don't make positive. In at least in accounting, that maybe in mathematics. I just feel that this is not right.
Pat,
question, Barbara. Why did you select 2015 and not just 2014? I thought the original transition date was 13, with comparatives to 12. Now you've jumped 2 years. Why not just a year?
To be honest, I think we had a lot of requests to align with IFRS 9 effective dates. We thought this would be the simplest way to address it. But mm-hmm. we're not opposed to 2014. At least it would give preparers more time.
And I guess the other point, it's an observation I would make. As you know, I made this point back in July when the board decided to just make targeted amendments to 32 as opposed to making all the amendments. It basically, in my opinion, this feedback reinforces the fact that there is a fair enough diversity of practice that it would have been worth putting out a revised standard. So I feel vindicated with that view. And if you need to re-examine processes and systems to determine whether or not you comply with the new guidance, then I think there's diversity in practice.
There is diversity in practice. We do agree with you.
And so, hence, I would have gone forward with that. But I guess, you know, being reasonable here, I guess the question is in light of what someone said about this being a financial crisis project, you know, information that's going to be put into the market sooner rather than later is obviously going to be helpful. Waiting to 2015, in my mind, seems, counterintuitive. So, I could understand going to 2014 for retrospective, and as PK suggested, if you wanted to do it earlier, obviously you might not insist on comparatives.
We are assuming, again, that there will be changes to people's offsetting once they go through and evaluate the clarifications.
Right.
Obviously,
there may not be changes. This is something that some people are not sure because they haven't gone through and analyzed to this effect. There are others that are more confident that their settlement systems will result in more netting. But I understand your point. I don't think 1 January 14 would be unreasonable as a compromise.
Philippe?
I can leave with a revised staff proposal, but I'm not enthusiastic. I see a little bit of a conflict between having the disclosures, new disclosures, effective in 13 and the change to practice taking place only in 15, because that would mean that people will have to disclose for 2 years at least what we ask them to disclose based on the old criteria that they choose to apply. It could be a wrong application of IS 42 to a certain extent, or not the best application. Because clearly there is a good and a less good application of 32, otherwise we would not need to clarify. So people would disclose for 2 years as a minimum information knowing that they would have to change it. So I think a little bit of caution will be necessary to say, test our disclosures, but it is going to change, and we don't know how much, because we have not done the assessment of how much that will change. So it's a bit dangerous, and to a certain extent, the disclosures could be misleading because based on a wrong application of IS 32 that we tried to take care of. So I think some words of caution in the disclosures would be necessary then. Also, in terms of timing, when is the earliest time when an entity will have to report with a new qualified criteria? Is Q1 2013?
Well, they would do 2013 Q1, but
The time they will have to publish information is Q1 2013, which is 16 months away from now.
But they would also have to provide retrospective.
Yeah, but they will have to do it only at that time. So if they don't have to do it earlier than that. So they have 16 months from now on until that date to do whatever is required to publish then the current information and the comparatives.
But they would have to go through and look at 2012 at some point.
Yeah, but they have 16 months to do it. Right. Is that too short to do it? Not sure. But now, if you think that there is a big change in practice, okay, then it might be difficult. I cannot assess whether the change in practice is big, medium, small. That's your assessment, guys. I'm not aware of that. So, in a way, this is why I'm not enthusiastic, because it may be that the change in practice is not that big, that 16 months is not enough to check that what they do is okay. If for an entity everything has to change, then okay, maybe it is then 14, 15. And there are some merits in saying 15 if we accept that we must postpone, because then we have a package of IFRS 9, 32, etc., which has some merits. I'm not in favor of saying we have an interim effective date of 14, because then the question is how does it interact with other parts of the project. The endorsement process, the EU might be a bit tricky, etc. So if we move back from 13, let it be 15 then.
Stephen?
I understand what he's saying.
Can I?
I'm nodding because I understand.
Ask a question first of Alan. Alan, what's our normal policy in terms of time to period between setting a standard and the effective date? I thought it was between 12 and 18 months was our normal guideline. So this is 11 months, which is within that, so I think we need a good reason why we would extend. And for the life of me, I don't understand why we would change 11 to 37, which is Pat's point. So I have a counter proposal, which is that it should be July 2014 is the effective date. That's 19 months, which is beyond our... Okay, I'm not. That wasn't a serious proposal. My point is that why have we selected this 2015? I don't agree that it should be aligned with IFRS 9. You know, the commonality is that it's financial instruments. Well, so what? This is different. So, sure, if we have to delay it, fine. Let's have a good reason, but let's delay it to a point where we give sufficient time. My other point is, if this is a clarification and that we believe that IS 32 currently says what we're clarifying that it says, somebody looks at this and then decides that they're not compliant with current IS 32, don't they have to change now? So isn't the relief that we're giving the wrong way around? We don't want to give an effective date for the current amendment. Surely what we need to do is to insert something that says, if you've been doing it wrong, if you now discover that you've been doing it wrong all along, we grandfather your incorrect accounting for a certain period.
And is
this a question for the regulators?
If you're doing it wrong, does that mean you didn't take this into consideration, but you have the same, you end up offsetting the same amount, or doing it wrong and you didn't take this into consideration, you're offsetting?
So somebody was offsetting even though they don't have the right to offset in bankruptcy.
Yes.
So we're saying you'd be doing it wrong because we intended. IS 32 was written such that you should have the ability to offset under all those circumstances. So if they discover with all of our clarifications that they've been doing it incorrectly, surely they should be changing now. Whether we say 2012 or 15 makes no difference, unless...
I think this question should move to the Air Forces.
Well, in that case, what's the point of changing the effective date.
Now I see five lights going on and off. Okay, well, a fascinating subject. Daryl.
It's maybe a response to a couple of the points that have been raised, I think. Stephen, although this is a clarification of something, what we did find in the outreach is that the two different approaches are widespread. So it's not like one or two people have been doing it wrong. It's actually that there's fairly widespread two different ways of using it. That suggests that we're not simply correcting something that's a quick fix. It means that for those who've actually, people have built systems to do it one way, or they have built systems to do it the other way. And as much as we can say this is a quick fix, people misinterpreted what we said, and they, in good faith, built systems based on that misinterpretation. We need to be able to give them the proper amount of time to correct that, I think. That was the first thing. The second one was just with regard to the question on the disclosure versus face of the income statement. Because disclosure occurs only once a year in the financial statements, you have more time to plan around the disclosure, and you have, it's easier to get the information extracted from systems, make up the information to the extent that it fits the requirement. So I'm more comfortable with the disclosure happening quicker. The problem with face of the balance sheet change, this is a face of the balance sheet change, is that the first time it hits is your first interim reporting period, and then it hits every interim reporting period after that, which is a very frequent change that you have to take into account. Also, for those companies that are required to report more than 1 year's comparative, face of the balance sheet hits you as far back as that particular requirement goes. So I think there is a need to give people the time to adapt to it. I had some sympathy with the staff 2015 idea, simply because if you are changing systems, chances are you're also changing systems for IFRS 9, and be useful to change systems just once, not have to change systems and then change systems again. But that said, I also understand the view that people are expressing about 2014, so I could sort of go with that. So 2014 or 2015, I'm comfortable with either.
I think we're nearly ready for this major decision.
Okay. I think Stephen's point of making sure that if we are adjusting, it's clarifying what does that mean for those that have used it different is a valid point, not just for the enforcers, but also for us to be considered. And I'm, like most colleagues here, not very enthusiastic about 2015, so I would still give it a go to consider whether 2013 without comparatives isn't more attractive than waiting till 2015 with something which is a financial crisis-related project. Now, we'll all remember the last financial crisis, but probably not everyone at that point will remember the crisis that triggered this question.
There you go.
Number.
Oh, sorry, John.
Just like when David was here, he's ignoring John.
Let's senior.
Senior, like in line with age, yeah. Age before beauty.
I agree with the staff. It just seems to me that what we heard all through this process was, I want it on a balance sheet, I want it in the notes, or I want both. They got what they need. It's there, and we're going to do that through disclosure. Let's move on.
Address something Elke said before we go. My only concern, you know, if we don't change, I hate to say, I think we should stick with retrospective in 2013, because my concern is if you do 2013 prospective, now you've got two sets of disclosures that are not comparable, as well as two statements of financial position not comparable. Now, maybe that's not what preparers need. But your disclosures will be retrospective, so you'll have disclosures for if you're offsetting changes. One statement of financial position with
BK.
I thought we agree.
2013.
The point I want to make is that this is in reaction to what Steve said, because I didn't use the word the mistake. The reason is that every time there is an interpretation, either in EATF or NIFRIC, that's only amplifying what is already in the literature. That's not an error. So we just need to be careful that it is not an error, although there would be wise minds thinking the other way. But I think I think we need to think about 2015, then the whole IFIAS 8 about the disclosure, about what is a potential impact. All those things will come into picture, and I think we are just punting it to 2015 is not going to solve the problem. So I think we should stick with 2013.
Philippe,
and then we
again, a question to the staff. Is it possible to properly do, as of 13, the disclosures without having at that time analyzed the contracts and the offsetting conditions against the new criteria? What would they disclose in 13 if they have not yet analyzed under the new criteria? If they need 16, 20 months to analyze the contracts, make sure that they meet or do not meet the criteria. What can they do for the disclosures in 13? Just random disclosures? Or?
No, they're still offsetting on the statement of financial position. They're still giving users the gross information amounts that they're offsetting under IAS 32 and additional rights they have.
Under their view of IAS 32, yeah. Under their view, not our view, not the revised view.
But again, we're assuming that the amounts will change. If they go back and find out they have the right in bankruptcy, it may not change, but I understand your
they
point.
They will disclose something which may or may not change, and they just don't know at the time whether it could change.
If we did not make the amendments IAS 32, the disclosures would still be useful.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's useless, but I'm just questioning the accuracy of such disclosures because they just don't know at that time whether it will remain offset or not offset.
But the disclosures go farther than just offsetting. They go to your rights in bankruptcy and in default. So you'll have, maybe the numbers will move around, but you'll have those numbers in the tables.
You don't know, because you are using the fact that they don't know whether they can offset
in case of bankruptcy to say they cannot apply the new revised criteria because they don't know at that time.
No, they're saying
but
they're
asking to disclose whether they have those rights.
They're saying they don't know if they have a legally enforceable right, meaning they didn't go out and find out if it was legally enforceable for the offsetting criteria.
Okay. First of all, we have the more strict standard here. Secondly, at least compared to the United States, right? I don't know other parts of the world, but probably we're the strictest in the world. Secondly, we found it necessary to improve our guidance because clearly our standard, as it was not completely clear enough, or at least it gave leeway for different interpretations. So that's why we're providing additional guidance, which might have implications for preparers. I think given these two facts, it is pretty logical that we find a practical solution for preparers that are here and give them sufficient time to adapt or to find legal opinions or whatever they need. Barbara, given this discussion, what do you have to offer? 13, 14, 15?
If we offer 20.
What would you like to vote on first? Let's get this out of the way.
I'm going to try 15. So if I do mind telepathy with
let's start with the adjusted proposal staff, which is application date 2015.
Retrospective.
Who can support that?
Retrospective.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I'm sorry, I didn't
hear
this word.
2015
retrospective.
Six. I don't know if that is that a half a vote?
I don't support a 2015 effective date.
Okay. No, this is not enough. Okay. So we go to 2014. Who bids on 2014?
Retrospective, obviously.
3, 4, 5, 6.
Retrospective.
Pat, 2014?
I would support 2014 if it's retrospective.
Yeah.
It would be retrospective.
That's 9.
Oh, that's it. So that's it.
We helped him a little bit.
Okay.
Good.
Okay, thank you.
I was a very good maybe we should leasing.
Who is going to